This is Healthcare Strategies.
This podcast was recorded remotely due to the coronavirus pandemic. As a result, the quality may be a little lower than our usual standards. We appreciate your patience as we practice social distancing. From all of us at Xtelligent Healthcare Media, stay healthy, stay safe, and enjoy the latest episode of Healthcare Strategies.
Hello and welcome to Healthcare Strategies. This is your host, Kyle Murphy, Vice President of Content at Xtelligent Healthcare Media. Today, we're talking to Dr. Steve Miff, President and CEO of the Parkland Center for Clinical Innovation. In today's episode, we're discussing the intersection of data analytics, health disparities, and public health emergencies. Welcome back to the podcast, Dr. Miff. What a difference nearly a year has made since your first appearance on Healthcare Strategies. How are you?
Kyle, thank you so much for having me. I'm doing great.
Excellent. So let's get into the conversation here. There's a lot of things going on at PCCI. Recently, your organization released the Proximity Risk Index. What went into the development of the risk index? And can you describe the interplay of data and analytics that is leading you guys to generate insight?
Yeah, absolutely, Kyle. And before I get into the detail on the proximity index, let me just describe a bit on the approach that we've taken to this data-driven focus on proactive pandemic management. What we believe is that given the highly contagious nature of the virus and also the finite resources, public health officials need to assess in real time with hyper-localized data and track infection rates, monitor effectiveness of local efforts, identify emerging hotspots, and also drive proactive education and testing in order to be able to effectively manage this. So the information is vital for coordinating efforts between the local healthcare provider, healthcare human services, local governments, in order to implement these rapid targeted responses. And when you look at sort of what's required for the data-driven approach, I think there are two big buckets. One is the care delivery activities that are required, and the other one is on the community and the individual activities. And it's within this broader component that the proximity index falls in. So before we are getting to the detail, let me briefly describe what this is. Ultimately, the proximity index is a real-time predictive model to quantify an individual's risk of exposure to COVID-19 based on their individual physical proximity to active confirmed positive COVID-19 cases. Another way to explain it, it's really a triage tool. If you think back at the beginning of the pandemic, one of the first triage questions that was being asked was, did you travel to China or did you travel to Italy? And based on that response, if somebody was in those regions, healthcare professionals, others would pay particular attention to screen, test, et cetera. Well, as the pandemic started to take place in our backyards, that question became less relevant. But the same question from a triage perspective was equally important. Were you around others that were infected? And oftentimes we might not know due to the asymptomatic nature in the early phases of the manifestation of the disease. So we created this proximity index to be able to quantify and provide at an individual level this type of information. I go a little bit more into the details of it. The data that enabled us to do this was daily data feeds from the local health and human services department at the individual level. So we have been taking those daily feeds of data and geocoded all the confirmed COVID-19 cases exactly at their lat-long address across the whole county, and then repeated that daily as new data became available. Also looked at the density details of the population living in those areas and the proximity. And each individual in a population of interest can then subsequently themselves be geocoded and matched to their location risk. So we can take an individual, you can look statistically of how close they are to those active confirmed cases, how many cases there are in proximity with, and use machine learning algorithms to actually create this individual-based proximity index.
So Given the current climate, how have recent public health emergencies like the coronavirus pandemic exacerbated health disparities among at-risk communities? And what can be done to mitigate them?
That's a great question. And that was something that was particularly important to also start to look at, because we intuitively knew as the disease started to progress across communities, various parts of the country, that certain ethnic groups were disproportionately impacted. And there are a lot of different factors that were contributing, creating who in our communities are most vulnerable. So in parallel with the proximity index, we also created and deployed early on a vulnerability index, which was a real-time predictive model to identify patients at risk of COVID-19 infection, and also if they were infected, the severity of that of the disease for them. And that required to really take a multimodal approach to not only understand demographic factors such as age, to understand social determinants of health factors, because we knew that's an important component into the equation. Also understand comorbidities. We knew early on that individuals with certain comorbidities were more susceptible not only to the manifestation of the disease, but also add elements such as mobility and elements as a presentation of COVID-like illness into the component. And by doing that, we're able to identify specific areas across the community. We had a high density of individuals that had these various criteria come together. Why is that important? That's important because it gives the opportunity to look now at a multidimensional component to understand where are individuals in the community that are at higher risk for COVID-19. Then you're able to real-time track where the disease manifests itself, and you need to pay particular attention in there as where you start to see infection or community spread in areas that also have a high density of individuals. The way we've used this information was to be able to work with local officials to do several things. One is to rapidly deploy testing in those communities, both physical locations, proactively put testing where you had not only the most prevalence, but this high density of vulnerable individuals, but also on a real-time basis, deploy mobile testing to those communities. The second component that gets even more directly, Kyle, to your question is understand what is contributing to having those communities be at a higher risk and design education and deploying education in a way that's very culturally appropriate depending on the mix of individuals that live in those communities. As we've done the statistical analysis behind these models and the combination of two, there's several things that really popped up. One is that obviously we've noted and documented that there are racial and ethnic disparities in COVID-19 risk across the communities, where Hispanic and African American populations are at higher risk than other cohorts. Also, disparities are exacerbated by comorbidities. However, when we looked at what are some of the correlated factors and equalizing components, when you look across the various ethnicities, what we found and statistically validated was that social deprivation is the COVID-19 risk equalizer across races and ethnicities. And that's a very important component because those communities that historically and through the pandemic have been having higher rates of socioeconomic challenges, they're also the ones that were disproportionately impacted by COVID.
What kind of positive results are you seeing as a result of being able to identify and then hopefully provide guidance as to how to intervene?
No, absolutely. On relating to the proximity index, one of the things that we've noticed through additional statistical analysis was that an individual that is being identified to be at high risk based on this index it is 7 times more likely to actually contact the disease than the rest of the population. So it proved that it gives us a very early warning from a triage perspective of who do we need to pay most attention to. And the way this has been used in the clinical setting since early April at Parkland, it's been that we're using the proximity index to be able to scan through and create over 400,000 patients and then map them through this index, then scan through all the appointments that are scheduled over the next 48 hours. And those that have a high proximity index score, the clinical teams are proactively reaching out to them to change those appointments to virtual appointments, to also do additional screening, and also ask about additional resources. So that has proven to be a key element in reducing the transmission of the disease, not only within the clinical setting, but within some of these communities.
Given your ongoing work on social determinants of health, do you feel the healthcare industry is ready and able to address these factors during the pandemic and beyond?
Some communities are better at addressing this than others. And those that are ready have not started to implement things across the community during the pandemic, but have done a lot of work before. If you started to try to address these social economic disparities when the pandemic started, it was too late. So what we have seen across the country and in our own backyard is that those that have been working on creating connected communities of care, creating both governance structures, deploying technology, deploying processes to be able to connect healthcare providers with community-based organizations and coordinate the delivery of services to their citizens and patients to those modalities, much better prepared to be able to address these disparities during COVID. Directly related to COVID, one of the first things that we noticed at the beginning of the pandemic was an increased demand or need for social economic services such as food assistance, utility assistance, rent and housing. Yet, at the same time, the supply or the organizations being able to deliver those services were equally challenged because of availability to volunteers, availability to resources to meet this higher demand. So in our market, having already deployed a system that was creating these connections with very robust referral directory enabled us to update those in real time, daily, to make sure that we can capture who is still open to provide services to community. How have those hours changed? And what are some of the updated eligibility criteria requirements for those that seek services? So individuals that were referred or themselves were seeking help were able to navigate this in real time and go to organizations that were open or go to organizations that had adjusted hours and do that in a way that was well coordinated.
Last question before wrapping up here. What's next in terms of innovation at PCCI? What's on the horizon? What are you guys looking into? And are there other items or other kind of products to expect?
Absolutely. So one of the questions that has come up recently over the last month has obviously been around return to school. And as we look at the return to school and this just dynamic balance between e-learning or virtual learning and back in a classroom is not only something that needed to be done at the start of school year, but something that needs to be managed throughout. And there are two critical aspects that we leaned in and developed. One, certainly understanding the COVID distribution and particularly within the catchment area of each school. But the second important question that gets kind of back to your question, to your point about social determinants of health, has been, are the students in a community able to learn from home? Is their environment conducive to that? And we've looked at it and developed an algorithm looking at three different factors. First, is their household ready? Do they have internet? Do they live in a single parent, single working parent household? What are some of those essentials that are required for them to effectively learn at home? Number two, is their neighborhood conducive to that, not only from a safety perspective, but also from a green space? Are these students able to get outside their home to be able to get some form of physical activity in a safe way? And finally, do they have adequate access to food? Because particularly in communities that have historically been challenged by social economic components, a lot of students get their food from school. So now if we ask them to learn at home, where are they going to get their food? So you need to combine those things to be able to provide the local school district, the local community. Not only is it safe to return to school from a COVID perspective, but if you try to balance virtual learning, are students themselves able to learn effectively from home? So that's one of the key things that we've done. In parallel, we've developed, in the process of developing, a proximity index that an individual themselves can go and input their address, and on a daily basis get their individual proximity index score. That should be coming online over the next few weeks. That will enable anybody in the community to have personal awareness about what's happening around their home, their environment, and be able to take appropriate measures relative to face covering, social distancing, et cetera. So those are sort of key things related to COVID. Also, as you know, we've launched recently a book on building connected communities of care. It's a guide for how do you do this across the community. We've also partnered with the innovation group at HealthBox to enable to bring those to others across the country as they're trying to start on this journey themselves.
Awesome. Thank you, Dr. Miff, for your time today.
Thank you.
How is your organization targeting high-risk communities during COVID-19 and using social determinants of health to make meaningful improvements? Share this episode on Twitter, tag at HIT Analytics, and tell us what you think. Thanks for listening today.
This has been an Extelligent Healthcare Media production.